we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Waldman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for joining me this afternoon. Lots of things to get into, but I'm gonna first dive into something that happened about a week ago, I guess 10 days ago. Our friends David Barton, Tim Barton, George Barna did a study on what Christian turnout was going to look like this year, and why people that call themselves Christians, why they would vote, why they wouldn't vote, what might change their mind to go vote, and it's actually very telling. Now, there's a lot of what we see in this study, we've kind of known in our gut. We've known actually from even previous George Barna studies. But I got to admit, I am surprised at how many Christians are still willing to sit on the sideline based on the results of this survey with what's going on culturally. And I mean, you know, just the amount of evil that is marching across the country and the amount of evil that's in every community across the country. And obviously, evil didn't begin during this election cycle. But the level of just blatant anti-biblical craziness and insanity that's happening in our society right now, and that's not enough to wake people up. I mean, I'm a Constitution Declaration guy, right? So I always go back to what Jefferson said in the Declaration about, you know, mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they're accustomed. And what he's saying there is, you know, we'll put up with a lot. We will watch evil happen. And if it's just a little bit, if it's enough that we can suffer it, we're busy. We don't want to get involved. We have all kinds of excuses why we don't want to go take on that fight. And, you know, some of us, we're just like wired for the fight. So we're like the war horse. We run to the fight. We're drawn to it and too often look for too many hills to die on. So there's some people that's not a problem. But unfortunately for most people, Jefferson's right. We will suffer evil as long as the evil's sufferable, instead of righting ourselves, as he said, by abolishing the forms to which we're accustomed. Well, that, I think, is the underlying reason why Barna's survey is once again right, even in the face of immense evil. Now, it's a spectrum, right? Because there are those on the scale from one end to the other of just, you know, can't be bothered to pay attention at all, no matter how bad the evil is, on one end of the spectrum, to the slightest sign of evil, and we're willing to stand up against it on the other end of the spectrum. And as the evil has increased in the country, as the in-your-face, satanic, anti-biblical policies from even those at the highest level of office in this country, the president of the United States pushing this evil, the vice president of the United States, now the candidate for president for the Democrat Marxist Party, as that level of evil has increased, the people in the middle are starting to say, enough is enough. I've now reached that level of evil no longer being sufferable, so I will get involved. But despite that, here's what Barna's survey says. Okay, so this is, well, Steve Harvey, but what was the guy that was the Family Feud host all those years? Richard, I can't remember his last name. Anyway, survey says, so here we go. 49% of people of faith are unlikely to vote here in a couple of weeks, or even now, right? Early voting's up and running in a lot of states already. Mail-in balloting already starting. 49%. So half of people of faith unlikely to vote. In this environment, are you in this world right now? You've got these people absolutely blatantly worshiping Satan, blatantly saying that they are absolutely against anything of God, blatantly sexualizing the children of America. And in that environment, 50%, 49% of people of faith are still going to not go vote? I can't even, I mean, that is so far outside the realm of sanity, in my very humble opinion. But yet, here's the reasons why. So let's see. Reasons that these people of faith are unlikely to vote. 68% of those 49%. So follow me here. So the next few minutes, I'm going to talk about those 49%. The half of American people of faith that are unwilling, unlikely to take the time to go stand in line for 30 minutes and go vote. Even if it was 30 hours, you should be willing to go vote. But here's their reasons. Okay, 68%. I'm just not interested in politics and elections. Oh, I'm so sorry to bother you. I'm so sorry to ask you to do your little bitty part for you know, preserving the republic for which others have died. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you could be bothered to be interested in politics and elections. I hate to distract you from your, you know, Call of Duty, playing your video games, or playing golf, or going fishing, or whatever it is. I'm so sorry that I would have to ask you to take time from those things to be interested in, quote, politics and elections. Yeah, because your grandfather stormed the beaches at Normandy with bullets whizzing past his head and taking out half the guys on his, you know, all around him. And he was willing to storm those beaches and go spend years, not just months, not just a few hours, but years in the trenches fighting to preserve freedom. I'm so sorry that you would be asked to go pay a little bit of attention. I'm just not. I guess I'm just not loving enough, folks. I don't get it. I don't get how people could say, people of faith, people that say that they are not self-centered, people that say, I have surrendered all, people that say, that I'm going to love my neighbor the way that I want to be loved. I mean, if you're a Christian, and frankly, not just Christians, but every major faith has something that says you treat your neighbor the way you want to be treated, that you love others and treat them the way you want to be treated. And yet, 68% of those people, just not interested. 57%, I'm not going to vote because I dislike all the major candidates. I'm so sorry to bother you to have to go vote for someone you dislike. I think I dislike all of the major candidates too. There's something about every major candidate that I dislike. 55%, okay, this one's going to be hard for me to maintain my composure, folks. 55% of people of these 50% that or 49% that aren't going to go vote, 55% of them say they're not going to go vote because they have a feeling that none of the candidates reflect their most important views. Your feelings are irrelevant. I don't care about your feelings. God doesn't care about your feelings. Your feelings are absolutely irrelevant. So the fact that you don't feel like any of the candidates reflect your most important views is just infuriating to me. 52% of these people believe that their one vote will not make a difference. Well, my one vote's not going to be the vote that decides the election, so, you know, I can't be bothered to pay attention. I can't be bothered to show up and vote. All right, I'm trying to hold it together here, folks. Trying to hold it together. 50% of these people say that the election has become too controversial. I'm just not comfortable. It's just too controversial for me. I just can't handle the conflict. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're living in a country where the freedoms we have were paid for with the blood of patriots that were willing to march 9 miles to attack the Hessian soldiers after crossing an icy Delaware River. A third of them did not have boots. They wrapped their feet in burlap, and you can follow them by the blood in the snow. They did this after 90% of the troops deserted them. So they went from 25,000 down to, yeah, I'm talking about Christmas of 1776. They're down to 2,500 troops. They've just had their tails whipped by these same Hessian soldiers just a few weeks before in New York, almost wiped out. And every nation says, I'm not going to help you. Every most Americans say it's all over. There's no point in this. And these 2,500 patriots followed George Washington across that icy Delaware River. The password that night was victory or death. They marched 9 miles. They routed the Germans. and create this comeback where now in, within a few weeks they swell back up to 15,000. Those are the kinds of people that secured your freedom. We're talking about people that sat in trenches for months at a time. At the Battle of the Bulge, they froze everything on themselves in order to secure your freedom, and you just don't think your vote's going to make a difference. The election has become too controversial. These are the reasons that people of faith, I'm not even talking about the heathen right now, I'm talking about the people of faith that are sitting next to you at church on Sunday morning, can't bother themselves to go vote. I mean, that's what George Barna's survey shows us. And yet, the people on the left, they're certainly willing. They're certainly willing to go vote. They're not just willing to vote. They're not just willing to pledge their lives, their time to go vote. They're willing to pledge their fortunes. They are donating to the candidates of their choice. They are donating to the causes that are undermining everything that those people I just talked about were willing to die for. And we can't be bothered to vote because it's just too controversial. We don't want to be uncomfortable. You know, I mentioned this last week. We were at, where were we? New Orleans for a Flashpoint event. And we were talking about this polling and talking about these Christians and other people of faith that just can't be bothered to vote because it's too controversial. My oldest son, he has a sign in his office that says, "Seek discomfort." Not just put up with it when it shows up. Seek discomfort. When you get so comfortable that you're not willing to lift a finger to choose leaders in a nation where you've been blessed to live in a constitutional republic where you choose who your leaders are going to be, where you are in charge, where we the people make the decisions about what this country is all about, and you can't be bothered to go stand in line and vote. Or for some of you right now, if you go early vote, you're not even going to have to stand in line. And I know I'm not being nice. I'm not, you know, I'm not being sugarcoating it enough. But we weren't called to be, as John Amanchuku says, another line I'm going to steal from him. We weren't called to be the sugar. We're called to be the salt. So get salty, folks. Don't be part of this wimpy part of the people of faith of this country that is they're unwilling to even lift a finger. Well, I could go through all these other reasons. They believe the election's going to be rigged. They don't know enough about the candidates to choose one. I mean, all of these reasons that these people of faith are not voting come down to laziness and being too comfortable to do their job, to do their duty, to stand up in the face of evil and say, not on my watch am I going to let you march across this nation with this evil and turn this nation into a satanic cult, which is what's happening. So, to all you people that are unwilling to take the time, today my goal is to shake you from your slumber and essentially stick a cattle prod on one of your cheeks. I don't know, pick one of the four, and shock you into getting off of the couch, off of the golf course, out of the bass boat, out of whatever you're too busy to do. And I'm not saying any of those things are bad. Look, my father-in-law loves to fish, but he also votes. He also served as justice of the peace in our community. So it's okay to play golf. It's okay to golf, to fish and to hunt and do all those things that I love. That's fine, but you don't do those things to the point that you don't have time to go do your most sacred duty right now, which is to vote, to choose your leaders. And thank you, producer extraordinaire Bobby just mentioned to me, Richard Dawson. That's the guy. Survey says, remember, and ring the bell, you know, ding, ding. Well, survey says that we got half of our people of faith that just can't be bothered to go do their duty under the Constitution. What's your first responsibility under the Constitution of the United States? Well, it's right there in, let's see if I can find it here before I run out of time as we're going to break. Let's see, it's in Article 1, right off the bat in Article 1. All legislators, let's see, the House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen, that's the first word in the Constitution, chosen to represent. That's your job, folks, chosen. Choose your leaders. All right, when we come back from the break, we'll take your phone calls and we'll talk about the ways that you can get involved and actually do this duty in a good way. You need to be a part of that. Phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I'm Rick Green. You're listening to At the Core.
Yeah. You know, there are many ways we can impact the world around us. Some are more direct, like helping our neighbors and serving in our churches. Other ways are broad, like becoming community leaders or supporting missions. Of course, taking care of our families is a given. If there was a way to impact all of those at once, would you be interested? The AFA Foundation is a great way to touch your family, your neighbors, and even complete strangers all over the country. You may not realize it, but you can support AFA with a charitable gift annuity, a trust, your will, or a charitable rollover. We realize not everyone knows what those are or how to set them up, but that's okay. Many of your questions can be answered on our website, afafoundation.net. Find answers and resources to help you make an informed decision. And if your decision is to move forward, you can get in touch with Riley, Chelsea, or Jessica to start setting up your legacy. Touch more lives than you imagined possible when you visit afafoundation.net today.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Phone number today, if you'd like to participate, 888-589-8840. Comments, questions, insults, whatever you got. I'm really curious, actually, if you would call in and tell me your take, kind of what's the temperature on the ground where you live with regard to the election. Because despite all this, and I shouldn't be so negative about all these 49% of, yeah, should. These 49% need a swift kick in the rear is the nice way to say it, so that they do their duty. Because, listen, we've got a real opportunity right now. Bobby and I were just talking on the break. This is not just a chance right now to win a presidential election. This is a chance to take back ground, not just stop the slide, not just stop, as Robert Bork said all those years ago in his book, the slouch towards Gomorrah, not just stop that slide, but actually gain some ground back. The momentum is huge right now. There's been a huge shift in the last 8 or 10 days all over the nation, but especially in these battleground states. I mean, Pennsylvania even right now is looking really, really good. We've invested a lot into Pennsylvania. We got a lot of great Constitution coaches out there, obviously one of the seven battleground states, so a lot of people have been very involved there. I just see Pennsylvania as a place that we need to be investing into for years to come. I mean, listen, it's the cradle of liberty. It's where Constitution Declaration were done. I know Philadelphia is pretty much lost, but the rest of the state is not. Even Pittsburgh is turning big time. I was there for an event, about a week ago. Had a very harrowing experience, by the way, as a result of my rental car. Maybe we'll get into that. But anyway, Pennsylvania, man, I'm telling you, I think Pennsylvania has a chance to really change with this election, as well as some of these other states. I mean, Georgia, I don't think Georgia, frankly, I don't think the U.S. senators from Georgia or the presidential results from Georgia in the last two elections reflect the actual Georgia at all. I think that the shenanigans there have been so over the top, and unfortunately, Republican leaders there have allowed it to happen. But I think you're going to see a major change in Georgia as well. So there's a lot of really good things to talk about as well. And so anybody that wants to call in and kind of comment on what you're feeling or seeing, I just said feelings in the first segment, don't matter. So I don't want to hear about your feelings. I want to hear about what you're actually seeing. Is there a shift happening? Are you hearing from people that maybe weren't going to vote? Maybe they fit into that 49% of people of faith that weren't going to vote, and something changed their mind. Either the evil got so bad, or something happened to change their mind and make them decide to vote. Based on even here, let's look at some of what Barna's study showed would cause these people of faith to vote that were saying they weren't. These are big. Now listen to this. 17% of them, these are 17% of those people of faith that said, I'm unlikely to vote, even in this obvious environment where you have a total Marxist, airhead, incapable of leading the country candidate on one side for the Marxist Democrat Party, and you have a guy that stood up and said, fight, 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 after he was shot and nearly assassinated. I mean, the difference could not be more clear. Even in that environment, still just can't be bothered to vote. Of those 49% of people of faith that said they could not be bothered to vote, 17% of them said they would if churches taught that voting is a biblical responsibility of Christians. Let me say that again. Listen carefully, okay? For your friends and family and people that you work with, people in your church, that are in that 49%. And if you think there's none in your family, your church, your neighborhood that fit that cat, how could 49% of people of faith saying they're not going to vote, how could none of those people be sitting next to you in the pew? You know they are. They're right there. Some of them are in your family, in your community, in your church, at where you are. Okay, so of those people of faith that say, I'm not good, I just can't be bothered to vote, they would change their mind. They would actually take the time to go do this duty that they have as a citizen. 17% of them said this, so almost one out of five, a big chunk of them, said they would change. They would go vote if the church taught that this is a biblical responsibility. This meaning to do your duty as a citizen. What we're talking about is the parable of the talents. You've been given the talent of freedom. Are you going to bury it and be the wicked and slothful servant, not going to vote, not going to use the freedom and responsibility you've been given? Or are you going to be the faithful servant, the good and faithful servant that uses that talent? And the thing that would change a lot of those minds is if the church just actually said, hey, we're not going to tell you to vote Republican or Democrat. I think a church should say that. But even if they just said, I'm not telling you who to vote for, I'm just telling you, you have a biblical responsibility to vote. Now, I personally think that pastors should say, you have a responsibility to vote and vote biblically, which means you cannot vote for the Marxist Democrat Party. I think pastors should say that. But I know there are people in our movement that disagree with me and say that's too far. And Johnson Amendment, yada, yada, yada. Baloney. The First Amendment protects your right to speak from the pulpit. Freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of being the press yourself, the right to assemble, and the right to petition your government for redress or grievance. You have five protections on Sunday morning to stand in the pulpit and say, this is who I think we should be voting for based on biblical values and based on what the candidates themselves have said. Okay, that's me. That's just me personally. That's not, you know, American Family Association. That's not, First Liberty or Liberty Council or Wall Builders or any of these groups. That's not Patriot Academy. So let me cover up my badge on my shirt here. That's just me, Rick Green, saying, as America's Constitution coach, I'm telling you, the First Amendment protects your right to stand in the pulpit and say not only that you should vote, but who you should vote for. Okay, but that's not what I'm saying every pastor should go do, even though I think you have the right to do it. A lot of pastors are not even willing to speak to this stuff at all. So let's at least get pastors to do what would move the needle for 17% of those people of faith who are not willing to go vote right now. 17% of those people would vote if a pastor or the church would just simply say, not who to vote for, simply say, you should vote because that's a freedom you've been given and it's a biblical responsibility to be a good steward of what you've been given. That's all. Don't even say Democrat, Republican, Green Party, Libertarian, Daffy Duck Party. Don't even say a party. Don't even say which candidate. Don't even hint to which candidate they should vote for. Just simply say, it's a biblical responsibility to be a good steward of what you've been given. And boom, 17% more would go vote out of those people of faith. Folks, that's huge. Pastors, if you're listening right now, can you at least go that far? Can you at least stand up in the pulpit and say, it's a God-given responsibility to take care of the garden, to tend the garden, to take care of the freedom that you've been given and to steward it well, so go vote. At least go that far. And then, you know, if you're feeling a little bit of strength, you know, maybe you had the really strong Patriot Brew light roast coffee that has the most caffeine in it that morning. And if you're drinking some good coffee or whatever it is, or maybe you just read a scripture and you read about the boldness of Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or maybe you read about Samson or somebody that just you're like, man, I want to be bold like those Faith Hall of Fame folks. Maybe you could just take a little extra step and say, not only should you vote, but maybe you ought to study the candidates and vote biblically. I know that sounds crazy. I know. Wow. That's just really, man, I'm just asking you to really get out on a limb here and actually say vote biblically. But yes, do that. And then you could send them to ivoterguide.com, ivoterguide.com. Let me say it again, ivoterguide.com, and get them to actually go look up the candidates before they go in to vote and vote for the ones that are most biblical. I mean, I don't know. Sounds crazy. But just imagine what would happen. And here's the other thing. If you do that, if you say go to ivoterguide.com, let me just rattle off a couple of more of these stats, because here's the additional folks that you would move to vote at that point. Number one, if family and friends were convincing about the importance of voting, 14% more would vote. If they had, let's see, if they received an unbiased, objective briefing of what each of the major candidates supports or opposes, 14% more would go vote. Well, that's what iVoterGuide.com is. So not only, Pastor, should you say, hey, everybody needs to vote. Not going to tell you who to vote for, but I'm going to tell you you should vote. You should vote biblically. And in order to do that, you got to go get an unbiased, objective briefing of what each of the major candidates stand for. So go to iVoterGuide.com. And by the way, churches and pastors and people, you can print out those voter guides and take them to church and put them out there for people to see as well. But it's real easy to just send them to iVoterGuide.com. They can look at all the candidates. Right there, 14% more go vote. Votes, election's over if you do that. Up and down the line, elections are over if people of faith, if 14% more of people of faith showed up to vote. So you can make a difference out there. If you're listening to the sound of my voice right now, you can change this absurd number of only about half of people of faith showing up to vote if you will speak up and let them know. If you are that family or friend that is convincing about how important this is, if you are the leader of a church that can stand up and say, this is important for you to do your duty. So we have right here, the map is right in front of us. The formula is right in front of us to turn this thing around. Now, if you want to see these numbers in detail, go to wallbuilders.com, wallbuilders.com, and the entire survey from George Barna, because Wallbuilders was the one that commissioned it. You can go look at all of that and dive into that. I wish I could show you the slides right now, but we're on radio, so I can't. So anyway, all right, let's go to the phones, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We're going to first go to Mary in Tennessee. Mary, you're up first. What's your comment, question, insult, whatever you got for me? Go for it.
I was thinking a lot of it's just not knowing, because I didn't know, you know, about voting, and I have family members that don't vote, and I know a lot of people that, I mean, you hear a lot of the negative so much, and you believe the myth or the lie so much that you don't know the truth, you know, what's really going on. And that's a lot of things in our society, not just voting, but that's one of them, apparently. You know, I didn't even know how many times elections took place, you know.
Mary, you are so right, and you know what? I'm glad you called, because sometimes I get a little too salty, you know what I mean? And part of it's because we're all in our echo chambers, so I'm around these people, and I hear excuses that for why they're not voting that really are wimpy excuses. What you just shared is a legit excuse. People don't know. And ignorance, we're all ignorant about things, right? I didn't know when the mayoral race was coming up in my town, you know, or some of these school bond or whatever. And ignorance is curable. So we can solve that problem if we'll share. Mary, you are so right. I appreciate your call. Just letting people know that this is important and that it's happening. People are busy, you know, they got life going on. And so you're 100% right. Go ahead, Mary. I kind of cut you off there. You might have had more you wanted to say.
I was going to say, I hadn't even seen a copy of the Constitution, but my friend sent me this thing of the Constitution Declaration of Independence that came out from Hillsdale College. They sent you a free copy of that. I'd never even seen the Constitution before. And I was one that went to school and college and enjoyed government and history, but I didn't realize I was getting a lot of lack of information. It wasn't actually, you know, true history government. So I'm learning more about the real deal.
Oh, Mary, I can't tell you what. I'm going to encourage you. Go to patriotacademy.com and sign up to be one of our Constitution hosts for free. This is totally free. And you could actually invite people over to your living room or church or wherever and go through our Biblical Citizenship class or Constitution Alive class. It's fun. It's entertaining. You'll have some build some great relationships with the people you have in with you. I would love for you to become one of our Constitution. Where in Tennessee are you?
Chattanooga.
Okay, good. Would you patriotacademy.com. Write that down. Or go to that website today, get signed up, because, and even you're talking about the pocket constitutions, we've got these things we call pocket principles. I am so glad somebody gave you one of those Hillsdale copies and that you got excited about it and you're involved. Your call is perfect, man. This is exactly what we need to be doing, folks. Just start talking about it. There's so many people in our lives that haven't ever had the advantage of being able to even just read the Constitution, to read the Declaration of Independence. We don't teach that stuff in the schools anymore. And Mary even was interested in it. Mary, you're better than me because I slept through those those classes. I hated history when I was in high school. So anyway, Mary, God bless you. Get a brush fire of liberty started right there in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thanks for calling in today. That's a great, man, what a great way to start it. All you other callers, you got to step up because that was a great way to start. Tyreek in, Mississippi. Tyreek, go ahead, man.
Yes, sir. I was calling because I wanted to like you said, there's a lot of black men that are not out here trying to get in here and vote. But I've been encouraging everybody I run into. See, I'm still registered in Texas. And so I'm just here taking care of my dad right now. And so I'm headed back to Texas just to make sure that I get a vote in.
Because oh, I love it.
I've been encouraging everybody I run into. And I tell them, I said, look, you need to get out and vote. And I've had elderly gentlemen, especially black men, who told me they just going to vote Democrat just because they always voted Democrat. But I had to explain to them, do you know what the Democrats are doing? Do you know how they're treating us? Do you know what they're trying to make us out to be? And so a few of them that I've talked with, they said, well, I'm going to have to look into that. And they started looking into it. And they said they're going to change their vote as well. And I
praise
told them,
God.
Good. Vote for somebody that's doing something for you. Don't vote for somebody just because.
Tyreek, you are the answer to what ails America. What you just said and what you've been doing, number one, the fact that you're willing to drive all the way back to Texas to cast your vote. Number two, that you're willing to just simply ask people questions like, are you sure you're going to vote that way? Do you know? And then just kind of give them some of that information and just enough to where then they go, will now go do their homework. Man, you are, I love it. That's exactly, every single one of us can do exactly what Tyreek has been doing. And let me tell you, the idea, I remember one night, one year for an election, I drove all night to get back home so that I could vote in a situation like that. And it probably wasn't even, you know, going to be the difference maker, you know, but that doesn't change our duty. We have to be willing to do these things. Man, what a great couple of calls to start off today with. See, folks, now listen, that's the answer right there. People that are willing to just invest a little bit of their time, their life, their fortune, and their sacred honor. And you just heard two people say, basically solving the ignorance problem. Ignorance is curable. I personally, Rick Green, America's Constitution coach, I am ignorant about a lot of history and the Constitution and things that have happened. But I can solve that ignorance by being willing to ask questions, to go study, to take the time to dive in. I get stumped in every Constitution class I teach. Somebody asks me a question that I'm ignorant about. They'll ask me about some part of the Constitution that I've never studied or some part of history that I've never studied. And I have to say, I don't know. Okay, big deal. I don't know. We don't know. But then we can go study and we can learn those things and we can solve that ignorance. Wow. The two great calls to kick off our calls today. The phones are lighting up like crazy. I'm going to get to as many calls as I possibly can in our final segment. So folks, stay with me. All you folks that are on the line, we'll run through as many as we possibly can. 888-589-8840. Everybody out there, you can do what Tyreek is doing. Ask people questions. Encourage them to cast an informed vote. Not just to go vote, but to cast an informed vote about who they're voting for and what they're voting for. It's not the personality. It's the policies that those people will bring into our government that will then impact our lives, our families, our property, all of those things. I love it. Wow. Tyreek, thank you, man, for calling in. Mary, thank you for calling in. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You are listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. It's Tuesday afternoon. We are just a few weeks out from the election, November 5th. Of course, obviously, President of the United States, that's the big one everybody's talking about, thinking about. But also, you got your Senate races, congressional races, your governor races in a few states, and all the way down the line on the legislative, all the way down to school board, water district, city council, you name it. We need to be paying attention to every single one of these races. So encouraged by our first two calls. Let's jump back in. Let's get Buddy in Louisiana. I was just in Louisiana, Buddy. I was in New Orleans on Thursday night and Friday, and I had me some good Cajun food while I was there. But anyway, go ahead, man.
Well, that's the good thing about New Orleans, this food. Anyway, I've called a couple times before. I work at the polls as an election commissioner, and I worked at early voting as well, and it's always been an encouragement to me. Some church groups will show up and they'll meet out front in early voting at least, because it's the entire parish that can vote at this one spot, and they'll pray and then they'll come in and they'll vote, you know. They'll have a group and so I'm trying to get a group like that together from my family, friends, because I'm going to be I'm not. I'm going to have to early vote because I'm working on election day. So I'm trying to get a group together, and so far I have a few likes, but I hadn't really had any commitment. But I'm saying next Wednesday at 11 o'clock, we're just going to meet, we're going to pray, and then we're going to vote.
I love this, man. It's like it's almost like a see you at the poll thing for schools, right? And for the kids, but it's for us as citizens, actually saying, hey, we're going to meet together, pray over this election, pray over our neighborhood, our community, and then go in and do our duty and vote. I love that, man.
Yeah, because we don't want to miss it. You know, we don't want to miss our chance. Like I saw a guy today who's from out of state, and I said, well, you are going to get back to your state in time to vote, right? And I'm trying to invite and encourage everybody to vote godly. That's what I always pray while I'm there. So
that's good. Anyway, well, buddy, keep it up, man. That's a great idea. Let's encourage people to do that. I love it. That's a good one. And that's, you know, hey, folks, that might actually help to get some of those people off the couch or, you know, just sometimes it's just focus, right? It's just I'm going to set this time to go vote because we mess around. And I do encourage people to early vote, by the way. I know there's some people that don't. Like that, I wish it was election day and we made it a national holiday and that's the day you go vote and it's paper ballots. That's the ideal thing, right? We want to get to that point. But right now, if you have early voting in your state, you absolutely should early vote. You don't know if you're going to – I always early vote because I don't know if I'm going to get in a car accident that day or not feel good that day or get distracted or they're going to, you know, do what they did in Arizona last time with Kerry Lake and shut down the voting machines in a bunch of the high Republican areas that affected the election. There's things like that that can absolutely happen. And listen, people, these are Marxist communists that are trying to take over our country. They will do anything to win. So you need to learn to work the system. I love the fact that Turning Point Action is doing the ballot chasing all over the country. I think that, in fact, may be a huge part of the reason why the shift has happened. I applaud those guys for what they're doing and the people that have participated in that. So definitely go early vote if you possibly can. All right, let's jump over to Arkansas. Lynn in Arkansas, you're up next. Lynn, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. I was just going to say, you mentioned earlier about feelings, voting on your feelings.
Yeah.
And one of the things that when I first learned about the problems in public school, that an attorney who was speaking about, putting your kids in Christian school or homeschooling was saying that their goal was to teach kids make decisions with their feelings. And for them to be taught with feelings, not, you know, knowledge. And so I haven't done a search in the Bible about feelings, but I think that would be a good thing to bring up to congregations, you know, not to just rely on feelings.
Lynn, you're spot on, man. That is, your feelings will guide you astray. There's no there's no doubt about it. And like you said, your feelings are often not lined up with the facts. I even had a guy, Ken Graves, he's a pastor up in Maine, and he came and spoke at Patriot Academy a few years ago, and he told the kids, he said, your feelings don't, you know, he's like, y'all keep using this F word, the feelings. And he was like, these feelings, man, are irrelevant. Think about Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded you, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you, whithersoever thou goest. Nothing in there about your feelings. It's like, you may be afraid, you may feel like you're afraid, but he says, I've commanded you, be strong and of a good courage, regardless of what your feelings are. So I think you're spot on. Great call, Lynn. Thank you for calling in. And let's start talking more about that, folks. Your feelings will lead you astray. I mean, that's what gets you into sin and gets you away from the Word of God. You gotta study God's Word and let those facts be what drive your decision-making. All right, let's head over to Texas. Susanna in Texas. Susanna, you're up next. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet.
I just wanted to let you know I was not born in this country. I was born in Mexico. I moved here when I was 12 years old. My father taught me to love life. My mother taught me to work. I have been voting since I was 18 years old, and I cannot wait to go vote. Every time it's time to vote. I think you missed one reason why the American people don't vote, and I think it's because they are a spoiled people. I come from a third world country. I've seen poverty.
That's right. I agree with you 1,000%. We're fat and lazy. We've had it so good for so long. We don't realize how valuable the right to vote is.
Yes, and they don't know what the American people does not know what a hard life is. When my mother moved here, she moved here with 5 children. My father stayed behind. She at one time worked 3 jobs, then slowed down, had to do 2 jobs for decades. I started working when I was 14 years old, helping her deliver newspapers. We would go to the Post. We would go to the Houston Post. We would roll the newspapers. We would get in the car. She would load them up on my lap as she drove. I would swing him out the window. I hated it, but it taught me to work.
Yeah.
And when I see these people living under these bridges and I see that they're young, we have a spoiled people. And what I would like to say, I love the Lord. He's my Lord Jesus Christ. And anybody who says you're a believer out there, you think inflation is hurting you right now? You let this socialist party take over. You don't know how hard it's going to be. It's going to be a lot harder, and you better wake up.
Amen. Amen. Oh, you're so right, Susanna.
That's what I wanted to say.
Such good calls today. Thank you, Susanna. Spot on. You know, this is, and I hate being repetitive, but at the same time, I know being repetitive, you know, repetition is the mother of all learning. But what Susanna's saying is exactly why we're entering the tough times right now. So everybody's seen the memes, right? Tough times make tough men make good times. Good times make soft men lead us back into tough times. So what she just described is the soft, wimpy, weak, and woke culture becoming snowflakes because you've had it so good that you know, you have basically, I keep going back to it, but, you know, it's so good. You're playing golf, fishing, hunting, enjoying the good times, that you get soft and you don't do the hard work anymore. And you don't remember what it was like. Or maybe you never had to work hard. Now, for like she's saying, for a lot of these, for really multiple generations now, we haven't had to work hard. We've had it so easy that now you have people demanding less than a 40-hour week. Wait a minute, folks. The Bible says 6 days shalt thou labor and do all your work. Everybody always keys in on the Sabbath. You're supposed to take the 7th day off. Let's not forget, that means you're also supposed to work 6 days. This whole business of 40-hour weeks, I think, is a wimpy, weak, and woke America. I think you ought to be working 10 hours a day for 6 days, 60-hour weeks, not 40-hour weeks. But anyway, enough of that. The point is, we've had it so easy for so long. We've gotten spoiled. We've taken it for granted. And because we didn't have to pay the price, we don't appreciate what we have. In fact, Thomas Paine explained this in An American Crisis. I started today with the whole crossing of the Delaware. Well, part of what led up to that was a week before Christmas, a week before the crossing, Thomas Paine wrote An American Crisis. And he said, these are the times to try men's souls. A summer soldier and a sunshine patriot. Think about that. A summer soldier and a sunshine patriot. Those who are, you know, patriotic, or they are, say that they're willing to work or willing to sign up when it's easy. It's nice in the summer. He said, no, that's not going to do it. Summer soldier and a sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from service to his country. But here he is in the winter. They've lost to the Hessian soldiers. They got their tails whipped in New York. And here they are in the winter, warming themselves by the fire, wrapping their feet in burlap, all that kind of stuff. That's the winter soldier. So he says, he who stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. But here's where I was going with all this because of what Susanna said. He also said, right after that, he said, what we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. Think about that. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. That's what Susanna was saying. We have obtained our freedom and our wealth and our religious liberty, our freedom of speech, all of that. We obtained it cheaply. In fact, we obtained it for free. We didn't do anything. Previous generations paid the price for us to have that. Or even in our generation, a small, small percentage were willing to go fight and die for our freedom. So we obtained it cheaply, and therefore we esteem it lightly, and therefore we're too busy to go vote. Can't be bothered to vote for all those reasons that we talked about in the first segment today. And so I think Susanna's call is Holy Spirit inspired, man. I mean, perfect timing for us to recognize what we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. Now, Paine goes on to say in that American Crisis, that first pamphlet of American Crisis, he said, Heaven knows how to put a proper price on her goods, and how strange indeed it would be if so celestial an item as freedom were not highly rated. What's he saying? He's saying God knows how to properly value things, and that freedom is so valuable that it also is so costly. It costs to be free. You have to pay a price to be free. Now, we're only asked to pay a very little price, a small price. What have I been talking about this whole hour today? This little bitty price of going and standing in line to go vote. That's all we're asking right now. Just go vote. What a small price we have to pay for this immensely valuable thing, notice freedom. And so what Thomas Paine was saying was God has placed a proper price on this value of freedom, which means we have to pay a proper price for that freedom. So, Susanna, thank you. Your call is exactly right. And immigrants get this. She gets this because she came from a different nation. She understands the value of the freedom that we have in America, and we got to shake enough people out of their slumber to be willing to engage in this. Absolutely essential for us to do that. Let's try to get one more call in today. Steve from Texas. Go ahead, Steve. Sorry to leave you on hold for so long. You're up next. Steve, you still with me? I might have waited too long. All right, Steve, thanks for calling in. Maybe we'll catch you on a future one. All right, so here's the thing, folks. You have an opportunity to pay a small price for the freedom that we've been given, to actually be a winter soldier for just a moment. I mean, you don't have to go survive the whole winter. You don't have to go warm yourself by the fire and wrap your feet in burlap and cross an icy Delaware River and march 9 miles to attack these professional Hessian soldiers. All we're asking you to do is get in the car and go vote. And maybe for you right now, it's today. Maybe it's early voting, has already started in your state. Go vote. Don't wait until November 5th to vote. And then tell your friends and family to do the same thing. You have an opportunity to be a force multiplier and actually be more than just one vote. You could probably, if you concentrated on it right now, between now and November 5th, I bet you could turn out 100 votes. If you started calling, texting, encouraging everybody in your family, in your community, in your church, in your neighborhood to go vote, I bet you could turn out 100 votes. Now, at a minimum, you could do 10. At a minimum, you could get 10 people in your circle of influence to vote between now and November 5th. Now, for me, my first election in 1998, I lost on election night by 20 votes. Out of 30,000. So 20 votes is what I'm going to ask you to go get. 20 votes. Everyone listening right now could influence 20 votes for your candidate of choice. Now, we did have a recount in my race. That was 1998. I ended up winning by 36 votes. Once we put our hands on every ballot, that's a whole nother show, why we need paper ballots, why we need to be able to verify every election. If there's any question, we should be able to go to those boxes that were locked on election night with the ballots after they were counted. And we should be able to verify who actually won the election. And there should be nothing wrong with questioning the outcome and demanding that there's a recount. That should be standard fare. And the idea that we're now jailing people, persecuting people for simply questioning an election, that's another show for another time. 20 votes, folks. That's your goal. Go get, between now and election day, 20 people to show up and vote and to vote their values, to vote biblically. iVoterGuide.com. Start posting it on your social media. Start making the phone calls and texting friends and family and people that you know. Start talking to your pastor about speaking to this in these final Sundays before the election. Ask your pastor to simply encourage people to vote. They don't even have to go as far as what I would want them to do, which is to tell them to vote biblically, to tell them to vote for the party that is not trying to destroy the country and all that. Just tell them to vote. That's all we're asking. Get the pastor to stand up and say, we have a responsibility to take care of what God has given us, to actually multiply this talent of freedom and not to bury it. Let's not be the wicked and slothful servants. Let's be the good and faithful servants, and let's all go vote and get 20 other people to do the same. Folks, I appreciate you listening today. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You have been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
Preborn celebrates that Roe v. Wade has been overturned. Roe has been responsible for the slaughter of over 63 million babies. Now the decision to abort a child will be left in the hands of the states, and sadly, abortions will continue in the most liberal states. Over the past 16 years, Preborn has positioned their clinics in the top abortion cities where 50% of abortions occur. Preborn's work of saving babies' lives continues at an even greater level as they save babies' lives and defend their centers from the radical hate groups who want to shut them down. Preborn's response is dependent on you, the pro-life community. Be a part of rescuing lives and changing hearts for Christ. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 will help to rescue five babies' lives. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com. All gifts are tax deductible.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.